Number 130823, Beware the Temptations of Power. Whenever we have power over people, says St. John Chrysostom, we're tempted to use that power for the basest ends. Better to have no wealth at all than to use our wealth for revenge. But riches, someone may say, bring honor to those who possess them and give them the power to take vengeance on their enemies easily. Tell me, is this really a reason why riches seem desirable to you and worth striving for? That they nourish the most dangerous passions in our nature? That they lead anger on into action and swell the empty bubbles of ambition and goad and urge us into arrogance? No, these are exactly the reasons why we ought to turn our backs on riches, because they let dangerous wild beasts into our hearts, depriving us of the real honor we received from everyone. They bring deluded men another honor that is the opposite of real honor, only painted over with its colors, and persuade them to imagine that it is the same, though really it only seems the same to the eye. St. John Chrysostom, no one can harm the man who does not injure himself. Number 9. When I have power over people, even if they just are clerks or waiters, how do I use that power? Closing prayer. Lord, please fill my heart with your spirit of love, so that I may love you and all my brothers and sisters. Thomas Merton, Through the Years. A Passion for Unreality. One need not be a monk to turn the way of contemplation. It is sufficient to be a child of God, a human person. It is enough that one has in one self the instinct for truth, the desire of that freedom from limitation and from servitude to external things, which St. Paul calls the servitude of corruption, and which in fact holds the whole world of man in bondage by passion, greed, the lust for sensation, and for individual survival, as though one could become rich enough, powerful and clever enough to cheat death. Unfortunately, this passion for reality and for the impossible fills the world today with violence, hatred, and indeed with a kind of insane and cunning fury which threatens our very existence, faith and violence. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. After he had fed the people, Jesus made disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountains by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Meditation of the day. Don't be afraid. It is not true that it would be a very simple, efficacious, and gentle procedure to sanctify ourselves by accepting each other what our Lord asks of us. We have absolute certainty that what God plans for us each day is most suitable and sanctifying. Sometimes in the morning, we are too far seeing. We would like to take in from the first moment the whole course of the day. What shall I have to do? What am I going to suffer? What do I fear? What do I hope for? And we set up our program. The only program for me is God's program. Let this day come as it may. God sends it, he and no one else. Let it come as it may. We are sure that it comes wrapped in the love of our Lord and destined to sanctify us. We ought to say, I will sanctify myself precisely by the events of this day because the loving providence of God has sent them to me. He is acquainted with my necessities. He knows what is most conducive to my sanctification. If we were to understand this, would not our soul be a veritable ocean of peace? One final objection. I acknowledge that by following God's plan and subjecting myself to his will, I walk in security and live in peace. But anxieties arise on this account, for by the abuse of my liberty I may resist the divine will, go astray and follow a crooked path. Is this not a reasonable cause for worry? No, it is a reasonable cause for repentance, for tears and a firm resolution, but not for the loss of peace. God does not cease being good because I am bad, nor does he cease seeing me because I go astray. Did he not reveal to us his own heart in the parable of the good shepherd who left the 99 sheep while he ran after the one that was lost? Yes, I have absolute certainty that if I go astray, Jesus will seek me. I shall place myself in his omnipotent hands. I shall rest upon his shoulders and return to the fold. Perhaps I must suffer to return to the right path, but blessed be the sufferings which atone for my fault and bring me back to God. Whatever our failings may be, whatever our wanderings, we have no right to lose either hope nor peace. We are Christians and have received peace as a gift from heaven, as a seal of Christ, that peace which the world can neither give nor take away. I shall suffer, I shall repent, I shall do penance. I shall sacrifice myself, everything, but with peace in my heart, for I know that here is someone who loves me in spite of my infidelities, someone who, when I wander, puts me back on the right path, who, when I fall, raises me up. God's Little Instruction Book, number 1, 2, and 3 by Honor Books. Golden Nugget, number 1, Romans Chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Fanatic, a person who's enthusiastic about something in which you have no interest. Golden Nugget number 2. Inspired by Psalm number 121, 1, 2, and 7. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. It is impossible for that man to despair who remembers that his helper is omnipotent. Golden Nugget number 3. Silence is one of the hardest arguments to refute. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Chesterton, Day by Day. You complain of Catholicism for setting up an ideal of virginity. It did nothing of the kind. The whole human race set up an ideal of virginity. The Greeks in Athene, the Romans in the Vestal Fire set up an ideal of virginity. What then is your quarrel with Catholicism? Your quarrel can only be, your quarrel really only is, that Catholicism has achieved an ideal of virginity that is no longer a mere piece of floating poetry. But if you and a few feverish men in top hats running about in the street in London choose to differ as to the ideal self, not only from the church, but from the Parthenon, whose name means virginity, from the Roman Empire, which went outwards from the virgin flame, from the whole legend and tradition of Europe, from the lion who will not touch virgins, from the unicorn who respects them, and who make up together the bearers of your own national shield, from the most living and lawless of your own poets, from Massinger, who wrote the Virgin Martyr, from Shakespeare, who wrote Measure for Measure, if you, in Fleet Street, differ from all this human experience, does it never strike you that it may be Fleet Street that is wrong? The ball and the cross. Reflections. Give thanks to the Lord, but do not forget his great men, the poor and the needy, for they can accomplish much with God the Lord. These are the words of the illustrious Russian ascetic of the 19th century, Father Nazarus, the arbor of Valon Monastery. He spoke these words to the wife of a high-ranking official in St. Petersburg who had fallen in disfavor with the Tsar because of certain serious accusations. The accused official became ill from worry and lay in bed. Hearing that Father Nazarus had arrived in St. Petersburg, the wife of this official hurriedly sought him out and related the misfortune that had fallen them, and implored him to pray to the Lord for her husband. "Do you have any copper or silver coins, any small change?" Father Nazareth asked her. The woman brought the coins and gave them to him. Then Father Nazareth left. Later that evening, Nazareth returned and gladdened the wife with the news. "Glory to God. All those close to the Tsar have promised to intercede for you." Naturally, the wife thought he meant the courtiers of Tsar Alexander Pavlovich, but the spiritual father meant the beggars on the streets to whom he had distributed the coins and whom he had asked to pray to God for the husband of this woman. And shortly the news arrived that the Tsar was reconsidering this matter concerning the woman's husband and wanted to review it. This was just what her husband wanted. When the woman began to think and thank Father Nazareth, he said, "Give thanks to the Lord, but do not forget his great men, the poor and the needy, for they can accomplish much with the Lord." Quotations from St. Teresa. Holiness consists simply in doing and being just what God wants us to be.